Good morning and welcome to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue sort of hopscotching our way through Proverbs and Psalms. Today we have a psalm presented for us. Now, I've got a little secret. I don't know if you want to. Are you big on secrets this time of year? I don't know. Here's a little secret for you. You may be wondering, where next? Where do we go next? Because we wrap up with a proverb, you know, or a proverb tomorrow and then a psalm on Friday. Then where do we go next week? Now that we've sort of finished this adventure at the end of the week into Proverbs and Psalms, well, how about this? We wanted to do something, you know, out of the ordinary for the Christmas season. I don't know what you think, Pastor David Boyce Claire, but something a little bit out of the ordinary. We're going to go to the book of Joshua next. What do you think?
Oh, wow. It's appropriate as that's Jesus' name.
Well, you made the connection right away, but also, you know, there's that famous verse about choose this day whom you shall serve, as for me and my house.
We will serve the Lord.
Well, it's a good time to ponder on that, don't you think?
Certainly.
Christmas time?
Certainly.
Who are we actually serving at Christmas? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's great to just have some new ideas, fresh ideas on what to study. You know, a lot of times, you're always concentrating on the end times and stuff like that. That's one of the things I noticed, too, coming to the end of this church year. Advent is more about his presence or his imminent coming to us. But it's always good to maybe look at the traditional material, but also look at some new stuff. And I was rather surprised to see that we're looking at going into the Psalms as well as in Proverbs. I thought you were going to go through the Proverbs, but these Psalms are just really full of the praise of God, which is appropriate for Christmas.
Well, we want to talk about a couple of things. First, a quick programming note, because it's Advent coming up at noon today, immediately after Ask the Pastor. We present a live worship service, Advent worship from Village Lutheran Church, where Pastor Kevin Golden is pastor. And we'll talk a little bit in the second hour about the reading on which he'll be preaching with our guest, Pastor Dave Andrus. But also, a very special project we have adopted that involves you, Pastor Boyce Claire. We should mention that Pastor Boyce Claire serves two congregations in the southern part of North County. But Faith Lutheran Church is the one that we want to focus on, which is in Velda City, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's in the neighborhood of the resale shop. Everything's a dollar, which is at 3000 Lucas and Hunt.
Right. It's the resale shop is in the lower level of the congregation, which is sort of like an earth structure, because it's sort of like the basement's completely underground. Well, as usually basements are, but and it's open in the back.
You may be innovative. I don't know.
We have a very pressing problem with our building that the roof is not what it ought to be.
Well, that's, I think, an understatement, Pastor Boyce Claire, and
yes,
this was brought
is.
To my attention by another one of our listeners, Larry, who calls in frequently, and pressed a very good case on your behalf for the congregation to be benefited by our listeners, if possible, if they should so feel moved this Christmas season as they consider to whom they may be making their contributions and to what causes. The roof is in dire need of repair. And this is, I want you to explain for a moment before we get to our lesson today and before we pray. This is one of the legacy congregations in the LCMS. But there's important history here, and it's worthy of our consideration to perhaps forward a little bit of resource to repair this building.
Yeah, well, of course, that I think we're thinking more about Bethesda, because that's where Walter A. Meyer Sr. Preached his first sermon and his last sermon. That was one of the founders of KFUO. But this congregation has sort of an heirloom congregation, you might say. In fact, it was sort of one of the founders of it, or at least the pastor that really kind of got the ball rolling was J.T. Miller, who was the author of a book of dogmatics, you know, a professor at the seminary, who said he was the successor of Francis Pieper as being the dogmatician of the synod. And anyway, it was called Faith Lutheran Chapel, and it was south of Natural Bridge Road. See, the people that lived south of Natural Bridge Road in this area didn't want to send their children across the street to Bethesda. It was too dangerous to cross Natural Bridge, so they started Faith Lutheran Chapel in 1925. And the original building still stands. It's right by Alberici, factory there on Kinlan. But now we went to the west a little ways, and we're located across from St. Peter's Cemetery on Lucas and Hunt Road. And it's a very wonderful mission outreach location for a congregation. We get visitors every Sunday.
If one of the listeners, or if several of the listeners, I would hope several listeners, would take it upon their heart to help you in the endeavor to either repair, or what would really be preferable would be to replace this roof.
Yes.
And help with the restoration of this building. How can they do so?
There is a special fund for that, and I imagine. Would they do it through KFUO, or would they?
Well, actually, what we've been telling folks, as we had talked about a little bit, was that we've picked this up as a project, so you can affiliate our name with it, but we'd like them to send those contributions to the 3000 Lucas and Hunt address.
Yes.
Which is, and then designate those contributions to the roof fund.
Yes, exactly, because that's the only thing that they would be used for. You know, we're setting up an account in order to, hold those funds until we have enough to at least do a repair. You know, if it's God's will, if there's a outpouring of His love and mercy to us, we'd like to replace the roof, but definitely to make some needed repairs to, as you said, a very, very critical situation.
And to repair that roof properly is about $20,000, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll see what happens. Give that address out.
It's 3000 Lucas and Hunt Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63121.
63121. All right. Now, on to the business assigned to us for today.
Joyous business.
As you pray this morning to start us into our lesson, would you also remember another listener who's in Sweden, who's a regular listener, Inge-Marie, who celebrates a birthday today?
It's Inge-Marie?
Inge-Marie.
How do you spell that?
I-N-G-M-A-R-I-E, with a hyphen in between.
Ah, okay. Who's celebrating...
a birthday today.
Is she very...
I have no idea. Let's not go there.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we're excited about people listening to us overseas. I think that's a blessing.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, this is a time of joyous expectation as we anticipate celebrating the birth of your precious Son, our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us now. Send your Holy Spirit upon us as we study your word. And also we ask that you might look in on Inge-Marie in Sweden, who even around the world listens to the messenger of good news with joyful expectation, celebration of her dear Savior's birth. And be with us now as we look at Psalm 145, which is a precious gift that you have given to the church of today from the church of ancient times. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org if you'd like to get in during the program with a question or a comment. All those avenues are open and clear for you as we begin here. All right, it starts out, Psalm 145, with a song of praise. Well, I think we have to define what exactly praise is, and in this world, we also have to define what praise is not, because there's sort of this ecstatic form of praise. You explain. What is praise as David discusses it here?
Well, it's mentioning the great things about a person, or in other words, singling them out and offering up the person for honor and in a sense, like if you praise it's such a beautiful word. Usually, you use it with children who do well, you know, they're praised, and it's sort of like they're sort of touched in a loving way, and sort of made to feel that they've done well, and in a sense, it's like to say something about a person, something good and great that a person has done.
And sometimes people may be familiar with what's referred to as a praise service. Well, not necessarily in Lutheran circles, though they may be celebrated there, but for the most part, that's some sort of a very sort of up-tempo, very emotional sort of thing.
Yeah, with praise bands, I guess. I don't think I've ever attended anything like that.
But that's not the same thing, or is it the same? How does that relate to the praise you just described?
Well, I mean, the wonderful thing of it is that people are not all the same. They're people are unique. And I think the Lord, who touches the lives of all people through His Word and sacrament, will sort of offer their worship of Him and their praise of Him in different ways. And in a sense, it's fitting for us to perhaps have a band, you might say. I remember a sermon that was preached at the seminary some 30 years ago by one of my professors, Dr. Johnson, who then of course became president of the seminary, who said, you know, he said, I'm sick and tired of hearing people complaining about how we spoil Christmas, or how we ruin Christmas by all the commercialism and all of the, the things that we do and the money that we spend. But he says, isn't it fitting for us to do that with the birth of our Savior, the birth of salvation itself? Of course, he didn't use those words, but he says that we put trees in outlandish places, we give our wife more perfume than she knows what to do with, and that we fill the streets with light and with song. And it's fitting, you know. So in a sense, it's a wonderful thing any time that someone offers praise to God, even if it's in a way that maybe we're not used to. And so that's kind of the idea that people express their love and their devotion to God in praise.
And Dr. Steinman, in his commentary from Concordia Publishing House, notes that this is an acrostic psalm.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm looking at it. Yes, I can see. Yeah, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Wow, Zion, Hait. Yeah, all of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. And yes, it is. It certainly is.
And I don't know if that makes it something special, or was that something common for the Psalms, that you would take each verse and start it with the sort of like A, B, C, D?
Yeah. That's like Psalm 119, too. There's sections of Psalm 119 which have all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In this case, it's all of the verses, or at least each verse starts with like there's A, B, G, you know, in Hebrew G is the third letter, D, H, and so on.
And I think this is the last of the Davidic Psalms, which kind of makes me wonder. This probably comes near the end of his life.
Yes, I would venture to say so. There's really no way you can tell, but in a sense, if they probably would, the earlier ones, show, his concern with other parts, events of his life. Psalm 51, of course, was composed after he had sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband and everything, and Nathan came and confronted him with that, and so that was sort of an earlier episode of his life. And here we come to the end, and all he has is praise and thanks for God in this particular psalm.
Well, if I recall from the moment of that Bathsheba business forward, his life and his family wasn't all that great, though.
Well, yeah, it's so tragic, because he was, he was supposed to be the exemplary king. You know, he is the one upon whom of whom, in a sense, the Messiah, the Savior, was supposed to be modeled. I mean, he was the great in the golden age of the people of Israel. Every nation, of course, has a golden age, and this and the, under the reign of David and Solomon, of course, especially under Solomon, his son, that was the golden age of Israel. And but then it's tragic about just the, of course, he's a sinner, like all of us. You know, there's times in which, you know, we could have been great, but yet we have a very, very serious malady, and that is sin.
We talked about what praise is, but we didn't, I don't know that we mentioned what the object of the praise should be.
Well, and obviously we give all praise to God from whom all good things flow. I like that one hymn that we, it's like a closing hymn, on what has now been sown, thy blessings now bestow. And then in it, it says, accept what is thine own and pardon what is ours. Only good comes from God. And the only thing that we can claim as being something which is totally our own is sin.
Well, that's true.
I mean, any good thing that we do, it comes all from God. So ultimately, God is worthy of praise. He always deserves to hear words of praise from his creatures, because we owe everything to him, and there's strength in that. You know, if you think about the you know, if you're in the Book of Acts, and I think you've studied the Book of Acts recently.
Yes,
where
we did.
Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they were beaten with rods, and they were all, you know, sore in the prison, and here they were at midnight or so praising God, and there was strength in that, and so for the Christian, that provides, in a sense, the Lord works spiritual strength through that.
Well, we had spoken earlier about how many of these psalms bid us to draw near to God, but then what do we do when we get there?
Yeah, well, I mean, all we can do, I often think of that myself. You know, what if I were to suddenly be confronted by Jesus himself? The only thing I can think of is saying, Lord, have mercy. You know, I mean, it's just another, that Lord, have mercy on my soul. You know, how unworthy I am to be in your presence. It's just like awe, because he is an awesome and wonderful Lord and God. And one nice thing about this psalm, too, is there's so many versicles from prayer services. There's even the versicle from the prayer at table. You know, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season, and so on. Hmm. And there are other versicles that are used in prayer services. I remember verse 2. I guess we want to probably look at that, but there's some really good expressions of praise that we would, if we encountered God, these are things that we would say.
Well, just a couple other quick questions before we get to the text. And it's a fairly short psalm. It's only 20 or so verses.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, you know, the church comes together to offer its praise to God. But for what, I guess really the question I'm asking is for what purpose, because, I mean, in a sense, are we practicing for eternity? Is that why we do all this praising here in the church?
Hey, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that idea. I think that that in a sense, if we look at the Book of Revelation, where in a sense we get a glimpse of what heaven is like. You have just a constant praise that's given by like the those who are present in heaven, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and they never cease continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, is the Lord God Almighty." And in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is called into the ministry of being a prophet, you see the seraphim singing with continual praise before God. So I think that's a very good way of putting what singing praise is in the church today.
But what if you run, I mean, with all that continual praise going on, don't you run out of stuff eventually?
Well, it's interesting. It's always... with God, it's always something new, and especially because He is the source of all everything that is new. And like I love the psalm for Christmas is sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. So in a sense, with Him, He will always come up with something new, which will always keep it interesting, you might say.
Pastor David Boies Clair, our guest this morning. Originally scheduled was Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, who was called away on quite literally a pastoral emergency. And Pastor Boies Clair has been very kind to fill in for his brother pastor this morning. Verse 1 of Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Well, let's stop there at the third verse. All right, the word extol is one of those old dusty words that I don't know we use very much in common speech. When you extol someone, what are you doing?
Setting forth, it's praise. It's a synonym of the word praise. Did you look in your Webster?
No. Okay. That's why we bring you on the program.
Yeah.
Did you look it up? You actually expect me to work here? Come on.
Well, anyway, let's perhaps take a look at what does the word extol mean? It means to praise highly, to exalt.
And you don't do that with just anyone, do you?
Or
do you?
Well, I'm sure that someone who has done a lot for us, and obviously God, who has done everything for us, is worthy of praise. So extol is like, if you're praising, this means praising to the nth degree, and God, of course, is worthy to receive this praise.
And David is, now this is interesting because you have a king, King David, proclaiming God to be his king.
Yes. Oh, yes. The Lord, or he says, the Lord said to my Lord.
Yeah.
In Psalm 110, so in a sense, yes, he's speaking of God as king, as his king.
And that's really quite common in Scripture, to talk about earthly kings bowing to the king.
Yes.
Though they don't like it that
way. The King of Kings. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
It's interesting when you bring that up, because to whom is David speaking? Is he speaking to God the Father? Is he speaking? Now, I mean, Jesus hasn't been born yet. Is he speaking to Jesus? Is he speaking to the Spirit? To whom does David think he's speaking?
Well, though Jesus was born, he as a person, he existed for all time as God the Son, and of course he's speaking to the Holy Trinity, or he's speaking to God, and in a sense it's to all three, and to all. As in unity and all three persons, and sometimes it peels off as to the Father or the Spirit. The Spirit is pretty obvious, when the name Lord is, Yahweh is of course present in this. The name of Yahweh is present in this psalm. This of course especially refers to God the Son, because He's called Lord. As he appears, in the Gospels and in the New Testament.
Pastor David Boies Clair, our guest this morning on the Bible study, working our way through Psalm 145. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or like Ing-Marie, you can write in by way of email. Thank you for the email, Ing-Marie. Happy birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Also, remember, we'd like to put a new roof on Faith Lutheran Church. Consider a contribution to that project. 3000 Lucas and Hunt, 63121. Send them a big donation. I'd really appreciate it. Stick around. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Bible study. We are working our way through Psalm 145. I hope you're following along. Pastor David Boies Clair is our guest this morning. And we've gotten through the first three verses. Now, Pastor Boies Clair, the reason I asked about to whom is David speaking, because just a couple of Sundays back, we celebrated Christ the King Sunday. And here David is referring to God as his King.
King, yes.
So I was wondering if there was a connection.
In the case of course, Christ is a unique king because his throne is a cross and his crown is a crown of thorns, and shows that as a king that he's glorified or praised, you might say, by his crucifixion, because he's given the task of redeeming the world by what he does. And in a sense, obviously, when we speak about God as being wonderful and great, it's for his goodness and for what he has done for people, and that God, of course, is he not only is the ruler over all people and over the entire universe, but he is also the one who created it. He's the one that made it. And of course, you talk about the, as we Lutherans like to talk about, the proper distinction between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of the right hand and the kingdom of the left hand. By his left hand, or in a sense, the kingdom of the left hand is that God is the kingdom of power by which he rules the entire universe through his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And the kingdom of the right hand, of course, is his kingdom of grace, where he rules all people through the gospel. In other words, the church. The church, of course, is the kingdom of grace. And then there's the kingdom of glory, which is where it all ends up in eternity.
And the kingdom of the left, as David is doing here, submits to the kingdom of the right.
Yes, that is.
I just thought that'd be worth a reminder for the world in which we live.
Well, yes, because as we read in the book of Ephesians, that he is the head over all things for the church. And speaking of Christians, St. Paul says, don't you know that they will judge angels? In other words, we, his people, will in eternity be over all the... Or the Lord will have us as part of his governing of all that is.
The beginning of verse 2 makes me a little bit nervous, Pastor Boies Clair, because it says, every day I will bless you and praise you. I get busy. I get forgetful.
Ah, yes.
I
like that. I kind of like in the... There was a film that came out in 1970. It was about Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell, who was a Calvinist, of course. But he says... Lord, you know how busy I must be this day. If I forget you, do not forget me. Whatever you do, Lord, don't forget me, even though I may forget you. And yeah, like you say, maybe sometimes because of the press of things to do, we forget to offer praise to God.
Well, especially in the midst of the Christmas season.
Ah, yes.
As we rush about doing these things that we do to prepare, to buy, to decorate.
Yeah, and one wonders about Luther, too. He says he has to work 2 hours, so he's got to pray 4 hours. Of course, as a lot of people say, in everything that we do, it should be a prayer, you might say. That's why St. Paul writes, pray without ceasing.
If you did that, you'd never get anything else done.
Well, it depends on how you, we can certainly live prayerfully, and in a sense, in our entire life, by the grace of God, by the power of His Spirit, offer it as a prayer to God.
Picking up at verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And everyone has heard verse 8 at least 1,000 times.
Oh, yes.
That is such a
common... If you want to know what praise is, here you have it. right in front of you. You know, in other words, this is praise. This is praise in a most beautiful manifestation. It's just such a tremendous gift. You know, as I think I mentioned at one time, that Psalms is the hymn book of the Old Testament church. And here, this is like you could set this to music. And a lot of times it says in the Psalms, there's sort of musical directions that are given. Set this to Gittith, or set this to Dove of the Morning, or something. There are certain tunes that you would set it to. And there were metrical time of the Reformation. They set the Psalms to hymns like Praise God from whom all blessings flow, or, you know, All people that on earth do dwell, Psalm 100. And in this, this is praise. This is what praise is all about. And, by the way, about extol, it says to lift up, to carry up. Have you ever heard the word ensky, E-N-S-K-Y?
No, I can't say that.
That's a word to send to the skies. So we in a sense, this is like enskying God, lifting him up to the skies with our love and praise of him.
When you take a look at verse 4, the faith is handed down. I think we know that. But what's interesting is when you get to 5, David seems to be anticipating that all generations are going to do as he's doing.
Oh yes. Well, similar to then we could look back at the Magnificat, of course, of when Mary was she sang that when Elizabeth said that the babe in my womb leaped for joy, and she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit, you know, all generations shall call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things to me." Obviously. We will pass away, but he will endure.
Yeah, and the thing that I find really interesting about this transition from 4 through 6, you get to verse 6, they shall speak of the mighty, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. Well, he's referring back to the generations commending one to another. If we don't tell, how can then the next generation pass it on?
Yes, we say God is not limited to that. The word will get out. But that is, in a sense, that's the Lord has laid that upon us as what he wants us to do.
I think David's laying a pretty heavy commendation of work, labor on our shoulders as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
That we have a responsibility. One generation shall commend the works to another. So yeah. That sounds kind of catechetical in a way.
Well, in thinking about the ancient times, people, not everybody had, books were not as common among people.
Well,
in fact, if you look at, I remember reading a story from the Middle Ages that, he had one or two books. I mean, and I have thousands. And of course, now we have the internet and we have computers. But in those days, they had to, in order to keep knowledge, in other words, pass on knowledge. And that, of course, it's always the desire of older people they want to try to help the younger people avoid some of the mistakes that they've done. And in the sense, that's why there, at least in the ancient times, there would be a recitation, sort of a remembering of all of the great deeds of the past, and then maybe they'd put it to music or something to help it to be easier to people to be reminded of it. It sort of reminds me Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury, about a society where they destroyed all books. So the people had to commit what was in the books to memory so that they could tell the other people, and the older people would pass on the content of, let's say, a novel of Robert Louis Stevenson to his son, so that could be passed on until printing would be allowed again or something.
Well, we have a board full of calls for you, Pastor Boies Clair. You ready to see what the listeners have for you today?
We have a, oh, great, that's great.
Let's go to Linda first. Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Well, I was, as you were talking about praise, there's a verse, and I'm not sure where it is, but it says, God inhabits the prayers, the praise of his people.
Oh, yes. I think that's Psalm 22. Just let me just check on that. I think it's, yes, he inhabits the praise of it. Yes, verse 3 of Psalm 22. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Is that the one you were thinking of?
I think it just comes right out and says it, too, somewhere. I'm sure it says it more than once in the Scriptures. But what I'm saying and what I'm thinking is how important praise is for me, for myself, too. God loves our praises. He inhabits them. But he also it's very beneficial to us as Christians. In Colossians, the church is told in 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, sing to each other. And that's what was going on with Paul and Silas in that prison. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever we say to each other, it can either get us down or, you know, they started singing to each other. And everybody heard them. And, you know, what we say is very important. Our mouth has to be full of God's promises as we come at Satan, who always attacks us and tries to make us think that we should be afraid or that we should be sad. Our mouth has to be full of God's promises as we come at him with the sword of the Spirit, you know, as we defend ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, just like David. He was going at that giant with his mouth full of promises. And I think, you know, the praises that we speak will benefit us because, you know, that is, I can't think of the word, you know, what we, you know, that's what we say. That's very important. It's very powerful. And
I don't know, maybe the words meet right and salutary come to mind.
Well, I think you really put your finger on it when you said that he inhabits the praises of his people in
yes.
the sense that there he's there. Faith comes by hearing, that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God.
Not that he hasn't been there, but that we realize he's there. Once we, you know, we make these statements and we realize, we hear ourselves, hearing our own voice, that's very important. We believe things that we say more than we believe anything else somebody else says.
Right.
And, you know, like this week I was kind of sick, and I kept saying, oh, I'm sick. You know, I thought, oh, wow. And then I felt worse. And I thought, no, I need to praise the Lord.
Yes, you do. And it was a blessing. And it's tremendous. You know, a lot of times people are so depressed, and some of them are so depressed to the point where they commit suicide and something like that.
And Satan has, you know, got the victory over him, but the victory we have, nobody can take.
Right.
And we stand in that victory, and we use that word of God, that promise, on our lips. And that's our confession. That's the word. Our confession.
There you go.
We speak it out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linda,
God bless
you
all. Thanks.
Thank
all right.
You, Linda. God bless you.
Moving on. Rick, good morning. You're next. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, good morning, Roland. Hello, Pastor Billy Claire.
Good morning, Rick.
Talking about the praise and worship, I read a couple of months ago a quote from Luther that has just stuck with me, and it's so beautiful. He calls the hymns the handmaiden to the gospel.
Mm.
And it just struck me with awe, because how they work so beautifully together.
Well, what do handmaidens do? They serve.
Right.
They serve and they care for the person to whom they are charged.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just what God has done for us is so wonderful. I mean, that he's become one of us in the person of his Son. And that's something that we can't possibly, if we were to live even into eternity, we wouldn't be able to, say how great that is for us. and how
he becomes like us, so we can become like him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even figure out the first one, let alone put the two together and think, there I am seated in heavenly places. It's just
awesome. It really, really brings joy, and it's a joy which is infinite. It cannot be, you can't get to the end of it.
Thanks,
thank
Rick.
You love. Okay, man.
Thank you, Rick.
Have a great day. All right, up next, John. They just keep coming, Pastor. Pastor Boies Claire. John is up next. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Boies Claire.
Good morning, John.
Great show again, as usual. I wanted to just ask real quick. I know they were written by different people, but I was just curious to know, you know, particularly the ones of David, the Psalms. Do we know approximately, you know, what time period these were written? And aren't the Psalms kind of also read like poetry?
Songs are, you know, in other words, of worship.
Right.
They were used in worship. If we speak about David, of course, sometimes it's believed that it may have been a psalm that was written in his honor by a faithful believer of the Old Testament. Right now, I don't know if. You know, we could probably say, you know, obviously with Psalm 51, we know that was from the time of David's reign, when he, you know, married Bathsheba and
sure.
all of that. But a lot of times, well, like for instance, there's a psalm specifically where it says, "By the waters of Babylon." So in other words, there's psalms that were also composed when the children of Israel were in captivity. After 587.
Right. Extremely ancient.
So it probably, you could say, from the time of David, even till the end of the Old Testament period.
Okay.
And that might give you an idea, but it was the hymn book of the people, of the believers of the Old Testament.
Okay. Well, it was just something that was on my mind, and I was kind of curious about it, because, you know, there is so many of them, and, you know, I was kind of just curious to see about what time period they were covering, and, you know.
There's even a Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90.
We did that one a couple of days ago, yeah.
Yeah, so there's you know, so maybe from in, you know, in the entire span of Old Testament history, they've been writing psalms.
Okay, great. Well, hey, Roland, again, great show, Pastor Boies Claire. You have a wonderful Christmas and enjoy the day.
Thank you, John.
Thank
for
you,
calling,
my friend,
and for asking the question.
505-7850 1-800-730-2727. Picking up at verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And that is the balance of Psalm 145.
It just fills you with such joy, reading these words. And as I think Linda pointed out, we need to do this. This is you know, it's almost medicinal, you might say, spiritually medicinal.
Yeah,
for us to really lift up God in praise and just, you know, especially verse 8, which is, speaks of His steadfast love. You know, that's, you know, that's what endures forever. His mercy. His, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And whenever we speak of God's goodness, of course, yeah, He's good and we're bad. Let's say we're sinners. But He's good, he's good in the sense that He's loving and He's gracious and kind to us. And He gives us all things.
I think verse 13 is really critical for us to take a look at for a moment. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. That you know, these blessings of which David is speaking and praising, they transcend beyond this life.
Yes, yeah, and of course, you know, of course, as we read the Bible, you know, it was right from, He was there at the beginning, you know, and He's, since He is eternal, He is outside of space and time. You know, He'll be there at this moment, and He'll be there even if the world lasts for another million years or so. He will be there, present at that time. It really is comforting. That's why we pray to Him. You know, the Lord's Prayer: "For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." That is why we look to Him for all we need.
Well, yeah, and that really, spending some time with this, it really struck me. You know, the story is told of Luther's death, and they find this little scribble in his pocket, this little scrap of paper.
Ah, yes.
And
the last written words of,
yeah,
Luther.
And they, that little scribble said what, Pastor?
That little scribble said, "Wir sind Allen Bettler," or "Bettler Allen." You know, we are all beggars. That's in German. "Hoc est verum." This is most certainly true.
See, and that's verse 15. "The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season."
That's, and you know, that's the one He uses in the Catechism for,
yeah,
for the, you know, you, when you begin, when you get to be seated at the table, then you say the eyes of all. And so on. Then you say the Lord's Prayer, and then you say, "Bless us in these gifts which we receive from Your bountiful goodness."
Because what, I mean, what can a beggar do?
Is open his mouth or open his hand?
Yeah.
Well, even that, you know, in a sense too, as we believe that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in the Lord, that He's the one that creates the hand, or He's the one that opens our mouth and opens our hand.
So this is not just bread; this is manna that 15 is talking about.
It's talking about, yes, and that's beautifully pictured. The people in the desert, out in the desert, where there's no moisture, no food at all, and the Lord rains down bread from heaven, and the meat at nighttime,
the people are so grateful and praise God by saying, "Really, more of this stuff?"
Yeah, that's.
Can't we have something a little different?
That's when he sent the fiery serpents among them. But I mean, it's interesting. I think the eyes of all here, like even the animals look to Him for their food, and then like, for instance, then if you look at what Psalm 104, which is like a Christian psalm, is when you turn away Your face, they are dismayed, and then you take away their breath, they return to their dust. You know, our entire existence is based, and the entire existence of all living things look to Him for their sustenance.
And along that theme, we look to our listeners, our dear listeners out there, because, again, Pastor David Boies Clair, our guest this morning, we have a project for you this season as you consider charitable giving as you go towards Christmas. Consider helping put that new roof on Faith Lutheran Church. It's in Velda City. Pastor Boies Clair serves there. It's in dire, dire need. We would commend to you highly your attention to serving the purposes of God in this world by helping that church put a new roof on. And Pastor Boyce Clare, if they want to send a contribution to that roof fund for Faith Lutheran Church, how do they do so?
Please send designate the gift for that purpose. Make the check or money order payable to Faith Lutheran Church. Send it to 3000 Lucas and Hunt, 63121.
3000 Lucas and Hunt, 63121. And we'll be talking about that. We'll be proclaiming this, Pastor Boyce Clare, between now and Christmas time. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yes, thank you very much.
Take care, thanks, my friend.
God bless.
All right, coming up next, Pastor Dave Andrus will be joining us for Ask the Pastor. A number of different things. We'll also take a look at the text for today's Advent service coming up at noon. Stick around. We'll be right back after the news.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.